take off your jacket, because it's time to get deep under the covers with a loose read.
Morena, Jenna.
Morena.
Morena. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. It's stock take day at Time Out today, so it's a really big day for us. And it's one of those things you do every year, but then you get there on the morning and feel like you can't remember anything. And there's lots of bits where you have to do these certain things at the start of stock take to make it work, so you don't want to discover at the end, after scanning every book, that it was you did it wrong. So I'm a little bit on edge, but I'm feeling fine, and I'm just like trying to sync up. But we're open today in the general shop, and our children's room is closed all day, but the shop closes at 5:30 tonight, and then all the team are going to come in and we'll be scanning away and eating pizza and all of that stuff. So
wow, busy. Yeah. Well, kia kaha. Jeez. Good luck with all of the the admin. But in other news, we've got lots of exciting stuff on the horizon. I know you guys have just got your programs for the Auckland Writers Fest, which is kicking off this May.
Yeah, and it's tickets are genuinely selling really, really fast. And there's amazing sessions on, lots of free sessions, lots of stuff for your tamariki. It's going to be an amazing weekend. I just wanted to highlight two sessions that I'm chairing, which is on Saturday the 16th of May. I'm chairing Maria Riva, who wrote Endling, which is a book that I've reviewed on BFM before. It's a Ukrainian snail book, so I'm really excited to meet her and talk to her about that book. I think her voice is really important in terms of how you mix fiction and world politics, and then also that really personal side of being from a place that's being destroyed by war. And so she's part of the Canadian contingent. She lives in Canada but was born in Ukraine, and some of her family still live in Ukraine. And then on Sunday the 17th of May at 10 a.m., I am chairing a session with Lily King, who's an American author, and she's written this really popular novel called Heart the Lover. I can't remember if I've reviewed it on BFM yet, but it's this 1980s American college novel. It has this love triangle in it, and then you jump to the present day, and you're kind of like, it's kind of thinking about like what alternative paths you could have taken if you'd chosen a particular person to stay with. It's really good. It's a heartstrings puller. I definitely some little tears dotted out when I read this book. So I'm excited to talk to her too. So it's a huge weekend. So excited.
It looks massive. And of course, check out what you can do with your kids here, because it looks like there's lots on for the little ones.
Totally. It's so cool, because we really need to just continue instilling the love of reading and demonstrating reading to the little people around us.
Oh yeah,
big time.
No iPad babies here. No.
Yeah, right.
We're talking about John Lanchester's new book today.
Yes, this is called Look What You Made Me Do. Apparently he came up with the title before Taylor Swift had the song, but that's what I heard. But he is a British journalist, and in his novel Look What You Made Me Do is his sixth novel. He's truly a book guy. He was deputy editor of the London Book Review. He still sits on the board. He was an editor at Penguin. His non-fiction concentrates on finance and the economy, and then his fiction generally catches the zeitgeist of the time whenever the book's coming out, and generally in London. So his book called Capital was set in one London street and catches the global financial crisis, focusing on property values and class comparison. His 2019 novel The Wall is dystopian, but is about climate change, and that was longlisted for the Booker. So Look What You Made Me Do, I would say one of the key things that comes up, which makes me think of things that we're thinking about today as a society, is privacy. But it starts off with us meeting Kate and Jack. They're this couple in their 50s, they're upper middle class, childless, they're really easy to dislike. And Kate is very smug about what she calls her and Jack's secret language that only they can understand, these quips and pet names that they've said to each other all through their marriage are very specific. And for example, one of them references this decades old New Yorker cartoon, and I'll just read this little bit about their private language, or how she sees it. A private language is only part of what a long marriage involves. A marriage has a body of mythology and folklore and anecdote and codes, is its own world, its own ecology, its own system of beliefs and values, and perhaps more than that, its own closed universe of jokes and references, shorthands and nicknames. So this is on the first page, but it's very key to what happens next. So in the very early scenes of the book, Kate has the devastating and sudden loss of Jack. He has a heart attack, and she spends months in grief. And one of her first events out, she goes to book club, and they're all talking about this Netflix show called Cheating, and I guess it's so hyped, it's like Heated Rivalry or White Lotus, and you know, kind of one of those water cooler type TV shows. Mm. And the show is about a man in his 50s having an affair with a woman in her 30s. However, their dialogue is littered with Kate and Jack's specific and intimate couple language, and oh my God. She is rocked with the thought that no one else could know this. He must have been having an affair with someone involved in this TV show.
No.
And this book is meant to be funny. So and it is funny. So from here, we start getting an alternative view, which is a woman called Phoebe, who is a script writer in her 30s, on the show called Treating, and we start to find out her side of the story. So this is a book that is full of, like, it's got scripts from the TV show, it's got both their points of view, and you also go back into the past of when Jack and Kate first met, Phoebe's relationship with her mother, and it's full of twists and turns along the way. So this book is really escapist, which I think is quite key at the moment. Mm-hmm. But it is literary, and it's deceptively simple because it's quite short. Like, oh, how many pages is it? 280. Quite punchy, and yes, that zeitgeisty thing of privacy, what people know about you, how they know things about you, what's listening. And it also speaks to generational difference as well, and class, but it's ultimately a very satisfying tale of revenge. And we all love a revenge tale.
Yes. Revenge. Oh my God, it sounds like such good drama to just sink your teeth into.
Absolutely. This is a book that I, when I got the reading copy last year, it was kind of like read it over the Christmas sales period and just read it in a weekend and devoured it. And I was, because you're not really supposed to like any of these characters. They all have very unlikable traits, but you're also listening to their inner monologues, which is maybe the worst side of many people. And so just kind of watching this comeuppance happen is really, really good.
Oh, there's nothing better than like watching or reading something that's just got the absolute most insane irrational drama and the absolute worst people as characters ever.
I love it.
I'm thinking Succession vibes, you know? Like,
yeah,
you can't really like anyone here.
And it made me think of, oh, sorry, I just can't remember any of the books that I review sometimes, because this book called...
There's a lot.
I'm pretty sure I did this Perfection by Vincenzo Latronico. That was an Italian...
Yes,
translation
you did.
About the millennials, and that gave me that feeling of reading something where you're like, oh my God, these people are so, you know, what it, they're so easy to dislike, and then you're like, wait a minute, am I them? You're like recognizing these character traits within yourself as well. Mm-hmm. So that's it, kind of that satire. But I think this book is, if someone's a big what do you call it, if you're a London British ophile, like if you like have lived in London before, they, you know, these are so hyper UK books and really capture the society of and class structure of Britain and especially London, and then that kind of smugness of the older generations who were able to buy houses, who buy houses when they were considerably cheaper, maybe buy two next to each other and knock them out and make an architectural, you know, so then they have two houses. It's playing into all of that as well.
Oh, it sounds like a jutesy story.
yeah, that's it. I think in a really meta way, it would also make a very good television show.
Incredible, yeah.
Oh, very good.
And speaking of the International Booker, which Perfection won, is the International Booker shortlist comes out this week. So I'm sure Nate will mention that next week on his review.
Very Looking exciting. Forward to it.
Much to talk about in the book world.
Always.
Thank you so much, Jenna. For anyone just tuning in, we'll be talking about Look What You Made Me Do by John Lanchester, which is available now from Time Out.
Yeah, it's on the shelf at Time Out. Just please don't come at 5:30 today, but otherwise we're open from 9 till 9,
Boom.
10 to 6 over Easter. But yeah, it's time to get your good Easter reads and settle down and
Very
good. Reading weekend.
Thank you, Jenna. We'll catch up with you in a fortnight.
Good luck with stock take.
Thank you.
Ka kite.
Ka kite.
That was Loose Reads.